Okay, let's open the scriptures, if you will, to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel approaches the life of Jesus Christ from the standpoint of King. So let's look now and continuing our study of the crisis of faith. And we are now in the section of this study which deals with, is God looking for more faith? In other words, some people believe that faith is like a muscle, that it can be increased. Is that necessary? Does it take more for God to do something in your life than it did for God at the point that you believed in Him as Savior to try and take you from an unbeliever and create a new spiritual creature and giving you eternal life? And then what people believe is, but now that you're a Christian, now it takes more faith. God is looking for something more. People, if that's the case, then faith is a work. A lot of times people say, well, I don't have enough faith in this struggle that I'm in this suffering, in this testing that I'm in. Yes, you do. It's simply a matter of using the faith that you have. The standard of measurement of faith is a grain of mustard seed. And God has given to everyone that amount of faith. It is not a matter of generating a lot of faith. It's simply a matter of trusting Him. And that's all that God is looking for, is that same measure of faith that He looked for when we were unbelievers. So that we can see these things, because there are passages that are rather difficult if we take that understanding, and we need to look at them. And one of the primary reasons, people, that this is true is because, always remember, it is not your faith doing the work. If it's your faith doing the work, then yes, we're going to have to generate more faith. But if it's not your faith doing the work, it's God doing the work, then the amount of faith isn't the issue. The issue is trusting Him. So let's spend a few moments in prayer that the Spirit can open our eyes and allow us to see the things that are going on in the Scriptures. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to open the Scriptures. We do this, Heavenly Father, with great fear and trembling, realizing that it is impossible for man to understand the Scriptures, that we are totally dependent upon Your Spirit to illuminate, to open our eyes so we might see, and our ears that we would hear what You would have us to see and hear. Father, we pray these things now this morning in Christ's name. Amen. Now, to move to where we are, I'm sorry that we got just started last week in the crisis of faith dealing with Peter. It's a dramatic study, the entire study, and we'll just spend a little bit of last week and some of this morning. But the study of Peter is a fascinating study in regard to faith. Let's read. We've already read this last week, but let's read where we left off and pick up to where we are this morning. I know that a whole week has passed for you and so many things have happened in your life. So let's orient ourselves to where we are in the study of the crisis of faith in regard to Peter. Matthew chapter 14, and we will begin our reading in verse 22. And just read up to verse 29, which is where we had to take off last week and leave. All right, verse 22, and immediately he, Jesus Christ, made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. So we have two distinct groups of people if we're looking at this from the historical impact of what's going on. Verse 23, and after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, all right, we move into the period of darkness, the time of Satan. In the original creation, we've studied this, or in the restoration, we've seen these types of things occurring. He was there alone. That's not just a side thought. That's a very important point in our life. So often, especially in the crisis of faith, you do have to travel it alone. And that's what makes it such a trying test. But the boat was already many stadia away, several thousand feet away, from the land, battered by the waters, for the wind was contrary. So they were going to come back and just spend some time on that verse. There's so much, the water doing the beating, but what controls the water is the wind. And in the fourth watch of the night, Romans had four watches, the Hebrews had three. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus Christ came to them walking on the sea. Very dramatic. We understand what the sea is about. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear, in great fear. But immediately, that word keeps coming up in this study. And that's another important thing going on in our lives, what happens throughout the day in our lives. Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, I am." Forget it is I. I am. Ego eimi. Do not be afraid. Then we have verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." All right. And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Okay, he's not there yet, but he's walking toward Jesus Christ. We saw a very important point last week. When you walk by faith, people, you defy the laws that rule the cosmos. You are above the cosmic laws when you walk by faith. You are above the law. You are above the laws that rule. This is one of the very important things we have to understand in this spiritual relationship that we have with God, especially by walking by faith throughout your life. We could go back here and just take a journey through Scripture. For an example, when the sun stood still for Joshua's battle, and the waters parting, and various things that happen through Scripture. When you walk by faith, you defy the laws that rule the universe, the laws that rule our logical way of thinking from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We saw also, and this is where we left off, was the faith here is a faith that breaks the status quo. Status quo are those laws that rule the fact you can't walk on water. But when we walk by faith, the picture that I want you to see is not that you and I should go out and walk on water. That would serve no purpose. What we're seeing here is that when you do walk by faith, you are above the laws that rule the universe. Now we come to verse 30. But seeing the wind, he became afraid and began to sink. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save or deliver me." I hope you see what can happen in your life. I'm talking people, not from day to day. I'm talking about in 1 hour, 1 moment, 1 period of something in your life going on. I want to show you how simple this really is. Peter started out in fear. He started out in fear. There's a ghost. Now, they are afraid. We could spend some time talking about fear. Fear is something that always lets us know just how frail we really are. When everything's going well, we feel invincible, very strong. But that can very quickly become fear, and we realize, I could die. I can get hurt. I can lose something. Fear is just one of those mental attitudes that always lets us know. It's a wonderful flag to let you know that this is how frail I am, that I could lose or die or whatever it is that might come up. All right, so they saw this figure, thinking it's a ghost, fear. Seeing the Lord, he goes to faith. When he's in faith, he walks on water. This is a remarkable thing that happens to us. We're walking along in life. All of a sudden, something comes up and brings fear into our life. If we get your focus correct, it doesn't matter what it is, you can go to faith. And then you can start walking on water. But what happens then, this is a beautiful verse for an easy study, verse 30. Any one of you could take this verse and work with it because it's very easily done. Let me show you what I mean. It's a simple verse. This is the type of thing you give a first-year seminary student to work on to see if they're seeing some of the issues. But let's take a look. Okay, now what happens? He sees the wind. Now, what did we just say? They saw this figure walking, and they went into fear. And then that fear quickly went to fade when he got his eyes on the Lord. A few minutes later, I mean, we're not talking a great deal of time here. A few minutes later, he's actually walking on water, defying the laws that rule the cosmos, takes his eyes off of the Lord, sees the wind. What happens when we take our eyes off the object of faith in various battles in life? Well, the next phrase, he became afraid. He's right back now where he was a few moments ago. I want you to understand how quickly you and I do this. How quickly you and I can go from fear to walking in faith with such dramatic results of walking in faith that you defy the laws of the cosmos, walk on water, but then watch what happens. There you are walking by faith, and all of a sudden you take your eyes off of him. You start looking at the cosmos. You start looking at the things that are going on in your life, and you become afraid. Now, taking your eyes off, that means you stop trusting. As a result of your stop, I don't have to develop 20 points on each one of these. I want you to just see the process here. Then you become afraid. Faith has given way to fear. Now what happens? You begin to sink. What's going on here? You're back under the laws of the cosmos. You now have to function in that realm. You now have to function in the cosmic sphere. So you become afraid, began to sink, okay? You sink right back into whatever's going on in the cosmos, and it's going to tear you up, okay? When that happens, we cry out, and what does he cry out? Lord, save me. Right, that's how quickly, people, we can go in our life, just the bottom part here, from fear to faith, and then from faith to fear. All in a matter of a few moments. This is why people, so often, Christians, will look so unstable as compared maybe to the unbelieving world. They don't do this back and forth like this. But a Christian will often look very unstable in their life at times. They can go that quickly from fear to faith, boom, get everything oriented. God's in control. God's going to take care. Boom, boom, boom. I'm going to trust him in this deal. You're walking along, but you get your eyes on the wind. Generally speaking, believing friends, whatever, will come and tell you how horrible things are, how desperate, how this, how that. So you start listening. You start listening to their voices, and you start seeing the wind. And when this starts happening, you go from faith to fear. I want you to understand how quickly this happens in your life. I want you to understand how quickly this happens in others' lives, your husband, your wife, your friends, work, family. Don't judge people. That's what you and I are here for, is to restore. This is what Christ is going to do. We'll come to that in a moment, what he does when they cry out. But I want you to see how quickly we can go from fear to faith in just a matter of getting your focus. You can be in great fear of whatever's going on in your life, the cancer, the divorce, the financial, the loneliness, the whatever is going on. You get your focus correctly, and you're walking above the laws that rule the universe. Then you get your eyes on these things, and you can go right back into fear. So be aware for yourself how quickly this can happen to you. Be aware it can happen just like that. You can get out of walking by faith. So I want you to appreciate the matter of focus. As long as he kept his focus on the Lord, walking on water. Get your eyes off of that. Focus on the problems of life. Focus on your testing, on your disaster, whatever it is. It's insurmountable. I can't overcome this. This is too big. And what's going to happen? It will eat you up. The sea is too big. It will eat you up. And it will. This problem is too big. it's going to crush me. And it will. If you get your eyes focused on it. Keep your eyes focused where we should. Boom. You're going to be able to ride above, walk above the problems that are going on. Okay, verse 30. Why did Peter stop trusting? He took his eyes off. He took his focus off of God. And he started walking by sight. What's walking by sight? Seeing the winds, the ocean, and or the sea, and see what I'm doing. I'm walking on water. I'm not supposed to be able to do this. So Peter began sinking, stopped trusting and began sinking because he started looking around. And he realized he shouldn't be able to do all these things. Fear started taking over. And yes, people, you will succumb. The problems of the world will take you under. They will do it if you don't walk by faith. If you walk by faith, they won't. You are above them. So this is things we have to see. All right, let's see. So we stop walking by faith. When we stop walking by faith, we see the mountains. We see the disasters. Now let's take a look. I want you to do one thing with me. Let's do pause on a few things. Seeing the wind. Okay, we know he took his eyes off of the Lord, looking at the problem, and here the problem is the sea. Now, how ridiculous is this? How ridiculous is it when we fear the things of the earth that at the moment seem so real, unless we think with the wisdom of faith? How ridiculous is this? Look back. Something that has already occurred in this man's life. Look back at Matthew 8 a moment, please. Matthew 8. Let's look at Matthew 8. This is powerful. This isn't something new for Peter. Matthew 8. And we're just going to read the verses that are pertinent to our study. Verse 26 and 27. Verse 25. Fear. Save us, Lord. We are perishing. They're in a boat. The wind and the sea are all in an uproar. Verse 26, we studied this a couple weeks ago. And he said to them, why are you afraid, you men of no faith? Then Jesus Christ arose and rebuked the winds. So who controls the winds? Jesus Christ, God. He, Peter, is going to look at the winds and do what? Go into fear. He could have looked at them and still not been in fear if he had remembered this. The people, when our problems look so big in our marriage, in our single life, in our health, in our whatever it is, they look big, insurmountable. But I want you to see where Peter's already been. Jesus Christ arose, verse 26, rebuked the winds and the sea, and they became perfectly calm. And the men, let's change it a moment, and Peter marveled. What kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, we studied why they were marveled, you recall, already. But what I want you to see is Peter already knows who's even in control of those. Now, let's go back. Let's go back to our study of Matthew. Matthew 15. Excuse me, Matthew 14, verse 30. And seeing the wind. People, he shouldn't have been afraid. He knows who controls the wind. He's already seen Jesus Christ command the winds. Jesus Christ is in total control. God is in control. There is no problem that's above his sovereignty. So even if you want to look at your problems, if you look with the eyes of faith, God commands them. God is greater than them. I hope I you see what I'm trying to get you to see here. He looked at the winds and was afraid, and yet there stands the one who controls even the winds. No excuse for the absence and the withdrawal of faith. Okay, now, the result of taking our eyes off of God, off of the Spirit, off of Jesus Christ, but off of the Holy Spirit in our life, and became afraid, fear, our frailty, our weakness, how weak we are, how easy it is for us to die, how easy it is for us to be hurt, how easy it is for things to happen in our life. That's what fear is. You realize just how frail. You're driving along and you're on top of the world and you're in control of everything, and then all of a sudden you see a Mack truck headed right toward your car. And you realize it could all be over in a moment. And God, I'll be the one all mangled up. So this is what fear is. Fear is, I am so weak, I need to get back in faith. Because when you are weak, then you become strong, and that's what faith will do. All right? Now the next thing, stop trusting. When we stop trusting, we start sinking and beginning to sink. Perfect description, people. That's a perfect description of what happens to us when we stop trusting. When we stop walking by faith, count on it, you're going to sink. You may not even realize that's what's happening. This is very dramatic, and you know it is happening. It may not be like that. We saw Wednesday night in our study in 1 John. We're in a series in 1 John and talking about walking in the light, walking in darkness. And we thought, wouldn't it have been fun if every time you and I are walking in the light, everything's fine, but the moment we get out of the light, we stop walking by faith, what happens is, so that we will blatantly know our condition before God of walking in darkness, we went blind. And we just have fun talking about it. You're driving down the freeway and all of a sudden you go blind. You'll get back to faith real quick. Real quick. See? And you'll know. But it isn't that blatant, but that's how blatant it is spiritually. That's what happens to us. Boom, you're blind when you all of a sudden stop trusting. Here's a perfect picture and another way of looking at it. What happens? You start sinking into the problems of life. This is why Paul says the battle is faith. People, you're going to sink right into it. I don't care what the problem is. You are going to sink into it. It can be a little bitty problem, and it's going to take you in like quicksand. It can be a major problem. It's going to take you in. It's not because those things are powerful and strong. It's because you have stopped walking by faith, and you will sink. You will come under the laws that rule the universe. You will come under these things the moment you stop walking by faith. And then usually, in a lot of our lives, the next thing is exactly what we do. He cried out to the Lord for help. Okay, just remember how quickly you can go from walking by faith and then all of a sudden go into fear. Go into fear. Or you can be walking in fear as Peter was, quickly started, just as I have it here. He was in fear. Went to faith, and what happened when he went into faith? Here's a guy that was fighting with somebody walking on water. He gets out and starts walking on the water. That's how powerful this is. But that quickly, he went into fear, and went from faith to fear, and started sinking. People, you have to just constantly walk in that trusting of who and what he is. Walking by faith, not mystical, it is spiritual. You are aware of what's going on. We're studying this on Wednesday night in spirit, or Tuesday night in spiritual love. You are aware of what is going on. You can stop trusting at any moment. You can start trusting at any moment, people. This is a beautiful picture to see these absolute things that happen. This is how absolute walking by faith is as opposed to not walking by faith. It's an absolute. You are in one of two states in your life. You're either walking by faith, picture walking on the water, or you're not, picture of sinking and coming under the rules of the cosmos. And play by those rules. And fear by those rules. And do by those rules. Or you walk by faith. And it happens to us that quickly. You're back to what from our study last week? You're back to the status quo. You're right back to status quo when you stop walking by faith. When you live by faith, we defy the laws of nature. That is, when you walk by faith in the Spirit, you defy the laws that rule the world. Once you stop walking, you sink, come right back under those laws. Now, so here he is, sinking. Now, what happens when we sink? We cry out. And I want you to look what God is going to do. Take a look at what God is going to do, what the Lord is going to do when this happens. He does not let Peter drown people. He does not start belittling Peter. He will not let you drown either. I'll show you some passages here in a moment. God does not call Peter a loser. Jesus Christ does not say, okay, Peter, it's your fault. You stop trusting me, you deserve it. That's the way a lot of Christians think. You deserve it. And Peter, you deserve to drown. You were walking there trusting me, you don't trust me anymore. Good for you, Peter. And you've been on a boat. You better take note. It's going to happen to you too. I'll let you drown also. That's the way Christians are. And I want everybody to come and see Peter at the bottom of the sea. Because that glorifies God. That's what Christians think. That glorifies God that Peter's at the bottom of the sea because he stopped trusting God. And it's a warning to everybody. Stop trusting God and you're going to be at the bottom of the sea. And fish has got to eat too. So there you are. You're at the bottom of the sea, and that's where you belong. No? What kind of God do you have? Let's see what kind of God we have here. This is not what kind of Savior friend we have. This is not what kind of God we have. He's going to reach down. He is going to reach down and pull Peter up. He will take Peter to the problem, and that's beautiful. We'll see that in a moment. He will take Peter to the problem of no faith. Now, let's take a look. This is much like our study in our study of the New Covenant in our communion series. What did we have there in Hebrews 8? Finding fault with them. What did we do? Finding fault with them, talking about the generation of Israel. Finding fault with them, God let them have it. God judged them and put them right under the judgment where they belong and kept them under that covenant. Just as the covenant said, if you don't do and do and do, man, I'm going to get you. And finding fault with them, they didn't do it. God let them have it. Tell me what kind of God we have. What kind of God do we have? People, this is all through the Scripture if your eyes will open and see. God finding fault with them, well, I think I'll just come up with another covenant. I think I'll make a new covenant. I don't like that covenant because I'm going to have to cast them into eternal darkness. I'm going to have to judge. And I don't want to do that. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come up with a new covenant of grace. And you know what religious people do? And Satan is sitting there doing, standing there doing, no, 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 you can't do that. They deserve to be judged and condemned and thrown away. What kind of God do you have? Finding fault with them? He just makes a new covenant. Hebrews 8. That's what kind of God he is. And it makes the religious people very angry. It makes Satan very angry. It makes the law people very angry when God says, no, I think I'll do something else. I'm not going to play by that rule. You can't do that. I can do it. I'm God. I'm God. And if I want to make a new covenant, I will make a new covenant. So here's what he's doing here. He's not going to judge. He just reaches down and pulls Peter up. Let's look at verse 31. And immediately, there's that word again, isn't it? There's that word immediately. And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, these are beautiful words, and said to him, O you of no faith, or little faith, as we've seen, correct translation, no faith. Why did you doubt? Let's first of all here note immediately. As quickly as we fail. As quickly as we fail. God is there ready to take hold of us. Now, what would a lot of Christians do while you're sinking? Here, grab this anchor. That'll help you get right where you need to be. They'll throw you an anchor. Now what God does. He reaches down and pulls out. Now remember, let's take a look at what we're talking about. Peter's not in faith. Peter has failed. Poor Peter, he's always getting in trouble. But anyway, he's failed. So what happens? Here. And he does it immediately. We could have a lot of fun, people, with the phrase, stretched out his hand. If you've got a picture, and this little phrase, stretched out, is all through the Bible. We could take a little journey on that. It's a picture. What did Jesus Christ have to do to redeem us all? He stretched out his hands, as it were, on the cross. So you have another beautiful picture of what Jesus Christ will do for us. But let's move on. Stretched out his hand and took hold of him. Okay, you're going to sink when you stop trusting. But let's find out. Let's see here what Jesus Christ, God, and God the Holy Spirit will do. And this is, people, this is what Christ is about right here. This is what God is about right here. When we're walking by faith, he sustains. When we fail, he saves. Do you understand? That's what God is about. That's what your God is about. Look with me, if you will, at Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Jude. Where in the world is Jude? If you can find the book of Revelation, it's the book just before Revelation. And it's only one chapter. And boy, does it deserve to be studied. It's filled with so much mystery and so many things of the Old Testament. And so much is going on in this one. It is just, the book of Jude is frightening as to how much is in this little book. I don't know if you've ever looked at it. Just for fun, just to show you a couple of things, look at verse 9. But Michael, the archangel, when he disputed with the devil. So we have a spiritual thing going on between the angels going on here. And argued about the body of Moses. Did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment. People, what have I said so many times? Leave the adversary alone. Please. You don't fight him. You stand still and put on the whole armor. Nowhere are you told to do that. Fight him. Angels don't fight him. Leave him alone. Don't damn him. Leave him alone. Don't rejoice over what you think is his demise and his ending. Leave him alone. There is something between God and Lucifer, who at his creation was the finest art of the creation of God. Scripture says so. You are here. You and I are here. Man is here because something between God and Lucifer is going on. Leave him alone. Angels leave him alone. You leave him alone. Don't fight him. Know his schemes. Know that he would love to destroy your marriage. Know that he would love to destroy your spiritual life. Know that he would love to stop you from trusting and walking by faith. Know his schemes. Put on the armor. Put on Christ. But don't fight him. So this whole thing is just so powerful with so many things that are going on in it. And we had time, sometime we need to just sit down one evening and take a look at the things that are going on in it. Let's see if I can find a couple of other things that we got in verse 11. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the arrows of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Well, there's something wrong there. Yes, they're not in proper order. Oh, is that important? You bet it is, what God is saying. So Jude is an important book. Now, hope I've whet your appetite. Maybe some night we'll take up Jude. Let's take a look at our study, or our study in Jude. And just want you to read near the ending of this great book. Let's look at Jude, verse 20. Let's look at Jude, verse 20. Just one chapter. But you, beloved. All right, we're talking to believers. Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, trusting Him. That's how you build yourself up. Praying in the Holy Spirit. People, I just can't encourage you how important prayer is. We had prayer meeting this morning, and there's just four of us. That's all it takes. It takes two. Prayer is so powerful. Prayer can cause things to happen in this assembly if we pray together. And we pray twice a week together. We pray on Sunday morning, 9:30, and on Tuesday evening at 7:30. That's called a commercial for prayer. Okay. All right, verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, that's a command to do what? Keep yourself walking by faith in the Spirit, because love is a fruit of the Spirit. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. That's salvation 3. That's when you and I go home to be with the Lord. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Don't judge, malign, attack, separate, criticize. Mercy. Verse 23, save others, snatching them out of the fire. It's a picture of what Jesus Christ is doing with Peter, snatching him out of the water. And on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Verse 24. Beautiful, beautiful verse. This is probably my favorite verse when I was in the military in Germany. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. The stumbling here is what Peter's going through. It would lead to death. It means to stumble to the point of death. In other words, out of his plan. To keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. People, you're going to stand blameless before the Lord at the efficiency rating, not because of how you live, but because of who and what he is and your position in him. There are many Christians who, for purity and their righteousness and their being blameless by the way they treat others. No. And by the way they live. No. By doing the law. No. He will make you so. You don't make yourself this. He makes you this. Let's read verse 24 or 25, and I'll try not to comment because it's a beautiful flow. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, and to make you stand in the presence of the glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time, and now, and forevermore. People, he controls the water, he controls the wind, he controls all things in your life. You don't need to go into fear. He has authority over these things. What is the issue? The issue is, I don't trust you here. And we don't like to say that, but that's exactly what we're doing. I can't just trust you here. I'm afraid. I have to do. I have to work. Whatever the circumstances may be, but I don't just trust you. And yet, he is sovereign over all these things before all time, before time began, and now, during time, and forever. That makes wonderful theology. That makes wonderful declaration. But what happens with most Christians when they come under testing of faith, this is where they fall. this is where they fall. You think Peter, when he started sinking, doesn't believe the same thing about Jesus Christ that he did a few moments ago? Just that right now, I don't trust you anymore. I'm looking at the winds, and I'm looking at the water, and I'm looking at all these things, and I'm looking at how I'm defying the laws of nature. I'm looking at all these things, and he became afraid. This is a man who's just walking on water. People, understand, he's in control. What kind of God do you have? Let's turn back to our passage. Now, what is Jesus Christ going to say? Peter's going to fall here. He's going to start sinking. But people, you're never going to drown. You're never going to drown. He's going to bring you right into eternal glory. You have eternal life. You have that. He is taking care of that so he can take care of any need that we will have in life. Now, Jesus Christ now goes to the real issue. People, the real issue isn't the wind, and the real issue isn't the water. The real issue isn't your divorce, your troubled marriage. The real issue isn't the cancer that's in your body or whatever the illness may be. The issue is not the financial problems that you have. The issue is not the turmoil in a human relationship with somebody. The issue is not the circumstances of your life. Those are not the issue. The issue is not that you're growing old and your body's changing. The issue is not these things. That's not the issue. Those are a piece of cake. Those are in the hands of God. The issue for you is, will you trust me? That's the only issue you have. Why did you stop testing me? You were doing fine as long as you trusted me. Why did you stop? Let's see what the Lord says. Comes right to the real problem. What's Peter's problem? No faith. Oh, you of little used faith. We've studied the phrase. We've examined it in the Greek. We've examined it in many passages in our study, so we won't go that route again right now, because we've established, oh, you of, if you want to stay with little faith, little used faith, what Mark tells us in the same word, no faith. Take a look at Peter. Peter had faith to get out of the boat. Peter had faith to walk on water. Then Peter stopped trusting. Peter used his faith for a little distance, then stopped. Little faith, little used. And it's not being used anymore. So no faith. So Jesus Christ says, oh, you of little faith, no faith. Either way you want to look at it. You stop trusting me. As long as Peter used what little faith he had, he walked on water. But it only lasted for a couple of steps and then he stopped. The moment you stop, you go back under the laws of the universe. Now look what he says. Why did you doubt? Okay, why did he doubt? Why? What Christ is really saying here is, why did you stop trusting me? Why did you doubt me? People, listen now. If you think faith can be increased, if you think that faith is some kind of muscle, I promise you, you will doubt. Because you think it's up to you. I hope that makes sense. You will doubt. It's up to me. Now that I need it, I don't have it, and I doubt it's going to work. What you and I have to appreciate is, what is faith? Faith is not a work. It doesn't depend on you. You are not the issue. You are not the issue. Why did you stop trusting me with even a grain of salt? I trust because I didn't think that I had enough faith. I don't have enough faith to walk on this water. I don't have enough faith to make it through. People, it's not your faith. You stop trusting me, God. It's not a matter, people, of more faith. It's a matter of the presence of faith. That's the great issue. I think I brought this. One of the overheads that we've already looked at. Let's take another look at it again this morning. It's the presence of faith versus the absence of faith. Peter's walking along and the presence of faith is there. Boom. The absence of faith, and he goes right back. It's not a matter of more faith or a lot of faith. All of this stuff that people want to come up with, it's not a work. It's the presence of faith. Why did you stop trusting me? I'm very careful when I say this because I know I'll be misunderstood, but I can't worry about that anymore. When you sin, if we use the word concern, God isn't concerned about the sin. Now, before you react, why do I say that? Because his son is already born out on the cross. Then what concerns God? What concerns God is, why did you stop trusting me? He's not concerned that you went and stole $10. He's concerned, because Christ bore that, he's concerned, why didn't you trust me to provide your needs? When you and I steal, it's because we stopped trusting. When you and I lie, it's because we stopped trusting. Any sin, moral, verbal, overt, mental, the first thing we do is we stop trusting. I don't trust you here. And the moment you stop trusting, you will sin, I promise you. The sin isn't stopping the trusting. That's what you do. Boom, you stop trusting, you will sin. And God's going to come along and say, why didn't you trust me yet? Don't you think I love you? Don't you think I'll supply all your needs? Didn't you think I had that well in hand? That's the problem. So the issue is, the matter is, the absence of faith itself. So he says to him, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why did you stop trusting me? All right, why did Peter do this? We could talk about one, because he took his eyes off of the object of faith. Took his eyes off of God, his focus. He put his eyes on self and on the world. Self and the problem. My problem is this. Here I am in it, and boom. The moment you do that, it's over. You will, people. You will sink. That's what happened to him. Let's look what the Lord talks about here. We've already seen fear as an enemy of faith. What's fear? My frailty. We've seen worry in a passage. What's worry? My weakness. Here, doubt. Doubt from law. A doubt about what's going on. People, when you walk by sight, you see the problems of the world. Where was this first realized by us, time-wise? When they stopped walking in the faith and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and they had the wisdom of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they walked by sight. A moment ago, nothing had changed physically. And everything was cool. Now, if they stopped walking in that relationship with God, they started walking by the law, and the law says, you're naked, and that's bad. Yeah. This thing that Peter's going through, people, is all through Scripture. When we stop walking by faith, we're going to see the physical realm of things, and you will sink under them. You are not above the things of the cosmos. And you will come under law, and you will drown. You walk by faith. That's where you walk. And you walk above these things in the cosmic system. Where there's fear, doubt, worry, guess what? That's your clue. There is no faith. I've often used in our study on Tuesday night in studying spiritual love, loving us. What's one of the conditions that you know when you're out of spirit, out of the filling of the spirit? Is that what love sounds like, the way I just talked to someone? Spiritual love is one of the first ways. Nobody has to tell you you're out. All you have to do is pay attention and listen to yourself and watch yourself. Is what I just said to my husband, my wife, or wherever it may be, at the counter at the grocery store. Somebody who you don't like when you're paying your bill. Listen to yourself. And is that the sound of spiritual love? No. Then I know. Nobody has to tell me, hey, you're out. But just watch yourself. Is that the way spiritual love acts? Okay, what I'm saying is, Here's some more. You find fear in your life, guess where I am? I'm not walking in faith. Doubt, worry, these kinds of things in your life, I know where I am now. I'm looking at myself, and I'm looking at myself in my environment. And that's going to bring fear, doubt, worry, all these things. So I know I'm not walking in faith. Because when you walk by faith, you don't see any of that. You're focused on Him who is in authority over all of these things. And who will work all these things out to His glory. And so you are above all of those kinds of things. You cannot claim, people, in the midst of all of these things that might happen, and sometimes there are great disasters. People, I'm not talking about, well, I had a problem today, the garage door wouldn't blow up. I'm talking about people who handle marital problems and physical problems and illnesses and sicknesses and all kinds of really great things. People, I don't care what the deal is, you can't sit down and say, I don't have enough faith to handle this. Yes, you do have enough faith. You are copping out on trusting. You're making an excuse. God isn't looking for a lot of faith. God is just looking for what? He's looking for the presence of the faith of the size of the grain of the mustard seed. Will you trust me? Will you just trust me? Yeah, but this person's over me at work. This person's in authority. This person can ruin me. This person can do this. This person can do that. Look at the person you're supposed to be trusting. And say that any human being has authority over him. They don't. You've got your focus wrong. Get your focus wrong, you're going to sink. Keep your focus where it's supposed to be, you're going to be able to walk on water. Keep them on Him. Peter had faith. He used the faith of a grain of a mustard seed. And man, the guy got out of water and he walked on water. Got out of the boat and he walked on water. He doesn't need increase. People, think about it. Peter got out of the boat, taken never how many steps, we'll say 4 or 5 steps. Taking 4 or 5 steps, does he need more faith to take another one? Does anybody here believe he needs more faith to take another step? No. Did he use the same faith? Just use the same faith, the grain of mustard seed, got him out of the boat, and took the 3 or 4 steps. Why did he start sinking then? Because he stopped trusting with just the grain of mustard seed. Man, I was doing so well, and then it just hit me. And man, it just all seemed to come down on me. And people, when you hear somebody saying that, that's when they need to hear your words encouraging their faith. We're going to study this as one of the phrases of faith, encouragement of faith. It's what you and I have the privilege of doing, is to encourage one another. But you know what a lot of Christians do? They like to use that to judge. Well, you weak, you loser. You wimp. You're not trusting. No. You go there in kindness. Galatians 6:1. And you restore their faith. You don't attack, malign, slander. Okay. What Peter needs to do, continue to walk by that same amount of faith. Continue to trust. Peter's problem is that he stopped trusting. Went into doubting. He saw the cosmos and he went under its rule. You don't need more faith. Now, let's just look at verse 32 and 33 to close up what's going to happen here. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him. This picture of what Christ is about, what salvation is about, what restoration for the Christian is about. This is what he does. Took him by the hand. Took hold of him. See, stretched out his hand, took hold of him. There you have the outstretched hand, taking hold of it in your life. And said to him, O you of no faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, it must have been a fun seater, get into the boat. But I'll guarantee you, I bet you not one of those disciples kidded him or said anything. But they didn't even get out of the boat. They just all sat there and went, I think we'll just learn from all of this. That's what a smart person would probably. That's what John did, I assure you. John just sat back and said, well now, elbow Peter, he's all wet, but I didn't even get out of the boat. I think I'll just shut up and do a little learning here. Do a little observing. See? I don't know if Thomas is in the boat, but he probably will kid Peter. Okay. I have a friend that can't wait to get to heaven to walk up behind him. Let's see where we are. Verse 32. And when they got into the boat, it's kind of interesting because here he doesn't even say anything. In the earlier passage, he rebuked the wind. Here he doesn't even rebuke the wind. The wind stopped. What's going on? This little test is over. And people, do yourself a favor. Don't worry about yesterday's test that you failed, today's test that you passed. Just learn from it and move on and continue to walk by faith. Verse 33, worship him, Christ, saying, you are truly God's Son, which is a declaration of deity. All right, we have one more passage with this in it, so let's see if we can cover this. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, same phrase. I told you I don't want to pull any punches. I want to cover these things, and so we go through them. You ever have any questions, raise your hand, because I hope that you'll be able to see what's going on in Scripture in regard to this faith issue. All right, 16, look at verse 8. But Jesus, aware of this, said, you men of little faith. There's our word again that we've been studying. You little faith. Why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? No bread, no faith. No bread, no faith. No faith, no bread. Who's got the bread? Okay, let's note the context. So let's read verse 16 from verse 5 so we can flow with the context. Verse 5, and the disciples came to the other side and had gotten and had forgotten to take bread. Now, when you come to the other side of the cross, don't forget to take your faith. Don't forget. That's how you entered. That's how you're going to live. Many problems in life, people. I didn't make an overhead. I think you get a good reason why I like to make overheads. This was what I do it in longhand, and that's terrible. And this is what it looks like in an overhead. But let's take a look now. Let's take a look at one of the great problems in life. The problem is forget. To forget something. There are a lot of problems that occur in Scripture. In James, they blame God for their sin. So James, in dealing with recovery from sin, he talks about don't blame God, get back to faith. In John, they denied that they sinned. He said, don't deny, but acknowledge that you sinned, get back to faith. In Corinth, they were so insensitive to that they hurt others, so they had to go through sorrow. There are a lot of things that happen that we have to deal with in sin. But to be restored to the Holy Spirit, they all lead to faith. They all lead to faith. No matter what our problem is. Now we have another problem. And that is to forget. And a lot of people have a great number of problems forgetting. Forgetting the first love. Forgetting how we entered the entire plan of God. How did you enter? By faith. That's how you're going to continue to live. We've forgotten what life is like without Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit. And so things start happening in our life to bring us into a memory of these things. Now, often when the Lord, the Bible, speaks of bread, here we're dealing with bread, often, people, it's not talking about literal bread. This is one of the problems a lot of people have. The Bible speaks of blood. It's not referring to literal blood. It's referring to a life that's in the blood. Referring to a spiritual death and a spiritual life. The Bible speaks of water. It's not talking about literal water. The Bible speaks of light, as we're studying on Wednesday evening. It's not talking about a literal concept of light, but a spiritual way. The Bible speaks of mountains, but it's not talking about literal mountains. Now we're dealing with the forgotten. Forgotten that only God can deliver. Forgotten that God will deliver. That all we have to do is trust Him. It's one of the great problems why people have problems like, how am I restored from sin? I'm in sin. How am I restored from sin? You forgot how you first got out of sin in the first place. Look with me at Revelation 3 a moment, please. Let's look at Revelation 3. Forgotten. It's another beautiful word all through Scripture. Forgotten. People have different things they write on a wall, on a refrigerator, or something. You want to do this as a little clue for every area of your life, your spiritual life, how you're supposed to walk, your marital life, everything in life. Just put up there, don't forget. Just don't forget. Because if you don't forget, it becomes rather important. Let's look at Revelation 3, verse 3. Okay, we have the church at Sardis, group of believers, out of the light, out of fellowship, in sin. And he isn't going to talk about confession, and he isn't going to talk about sorrow, and he isn't going to talk about, because that's not their problem. He isn't going to talk about it. That's not their problem. Look what their problem is. Verse 2. Wake up! Wake up! Strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Now, verse 3. Let's get to recovery and let's get moving. Remember, therefore. Now, if you have, some translations have what you have received. If you have a good margin, it should tell you what the truth is. In the New American Standard, if you have one that puts words in the margin, it'll put the correct Greek word. How? And that's what we ought to have here. Not what, how. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Take it back to Galatians, the hearing of faith. So how were we first restored from the penalty of sin? Boom, faith. Well, how are you going to be restored from the power of sin? Faith. How were we taken from death into life as unbelievers? Faith. How are we going to be taken from death to life as believers? Remember, faith. He's just going back to the model. Okay, verse 3. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Keep doing it. Repent. So you repent. That's the key. Boom. You may have to confess. You may have to go through sorrow. You may have to remember that you love it, but you repent. I don't want to be here. And that takes you to the way that we first did, and that was faith. Okay, let's go back to our passage. We got just a few moments here to finish up this one passage, and I think we can do it in this time. All right, let's look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. And Jesus said to them, watch out, and there's that word watch out, be on guard. People, we just in America, in our marriages, our friendships, our spiritual life, we just don't stay alert. We don't even stay alert driving our cars, but that's another discussion. But stay alert. You're in a warfare. Satan doesn't want you walking by faith, people. Watch out. Okay. Jesus said to them, watch out and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Okay, what is the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? The law. The law is their leaven. That is doing for God. Earn what you get. Get what you earn. You earn grace. No, you don't. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. Works. Verse 7. And they began to discuss among themselves, saying, it's because we took no bread. Oh, my goodness. He mentions leaven because we didn't bring any bread. And that's the way most Christians are. You cannot think in the spiritual realm. You get so caught up with the earth. Okay, this is what they do. You can only think in the physical realm. They thought Jesus Christ was upset because they forgot to pack a lunch. That must be the whole deal. All right, God is upset because we didn't do this. Now let's see what's going on. See, what they're saying is, do you follow this? God is upset because we do not offer our works. We don't do and do and do. No, you missed it. Verse 8. But Jesus, aware of this, remember he is God, so he knows what they're talking about. You might remember that. We live in a time when people are always concerned about what they're going to get on the internet, and can other people dig it up and all the rest of it and all these types of things. Just remember, he knows. Okay. And Jesus, aware of this, said, you men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Now, people, I want you to just sit there and think about the passage as it's given to you here. Note where Christ goes. You men of little faith. Where does that come from? Why does he bring up faith? And Jesus said, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, Sadducees. And they began to discuss among themselves. It is because we took no bread. He says, you men of little faith. Does that flow for you? Aren't there a lot of questions here? Why did they think about not bringing bread when he said something about the leaven of the Pharisees? That doesn't flow. That isn't where they should have gone. Then Jesus Christ says, the issue is faith. That helps us to know where the real problem in life is. The real problem in life is faith. You men of little faith. Why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Okay. We have our adjective. Alexopistos. And oligos means small, little, as the amount. We've studied all of these things. In intensity, in time, plus the word faith. So we have little use faith, or as Mark says, no faith. Little faith, no use of faith here. Okay. Now, verse 9. Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Okay, what's Christ saying to them? He's saying to them this, people. Why are you concerned with the physical realm? Just like Peter, why are you concerned with the winds and the water and all that? Why are you, Christian, concerned with all of these things dealing with the world? I am above them. Look how I defied the laws of the world, the cosmic system, when I did all of those 12 baskets, so many baskets that you took up. What is he saying with that you took up? You know I am above all these things. Why don't you trust me? I'm not talking about bread, men. I'm not talking about bread. The physical things in the world are not a problem to me. What I'm talking about is your faith rather than your doing. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you men trusting me, trusting God. You're so hung up on the problems of the world. You're so hung up on your cancers, and you're so hung up on your money, and you're so hung up on this, and you're so hung up on that. You don't even see me. Look what I did. I made 12 baskets of food left over. Do you think I care about those things of the earth? Yes, I care enough to feed you, but do you think I care in a matter of they're a problem to me? They're not a problem. Why are they a problem to you? Why are you even talking about them? Trust me. Let's get on to the real battles of life. The real battle is trusting me. Verse 9. Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? Now, I hate to tell you, but most Christians do not understand the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and 12 baskets and the feeding of 4,000. What's the difference between the 5,000, 4,000, the 7 loaves, and all the things that are going on? But I do want you to see one. And by the way, just to give you a clue, one deals with Israel, one deals with the church. There's a lot in all of that that's very beautiful. But so that you'll see the point, turn to Mark chapter 6. So we'll see what Jesus Christ is talking about here. Matthew, Mark. Mark 6. Mark helps us out a lot. It's a short little gospel, but it's powerful. Mark 6, 52. Mark chapter 6, verse 52. Just a frightening passage in the Bible about our lives, about ourselves. One of those things that causes us to embrace. For they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. Now, he's not even talking about food problems. Look at verse 51. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were greatly astonished. So they go from the cosmic of the winds and the sea to this thing, and then Mark says, for they had not gained. They were astonished, comma, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. Now, what does that mean, their heart was hardened here? People, what that means, what the hardening of the heart refers to is you fail to see how sovereignly omnipotent Jesus Christ of God is. They saw Jesus Christ do things, and it did not encourage them to go on and trust him in all circumstances. This gets back to our study of where faith is greatly enlarged in 2 Thessalonians. And I showed you how people can, a lot of Christians will trust him in three areas of their life. And I mean truly trust him in three areas of their life. And you see that in their life. And you see his love in those areas where we walk by faith. But there are two areas where they do not trust. They do not walk by faith. And what one thing that happens here is a lot of times some Christians will come along and they'll see these three where they do trust. They'll see the two where they do not, and they judge this person as a hypocrite, start criticizing and maligning. People don't do that. We're all on this journey to where if a hand represents our whole life, where God is looking for us to trust him in all areas of our life. Everybody has a pinky. And there's always a pinky that doesn't want to walk by faith. There's some area in our life where we're all battling. Every one of us. And God wants that area. You could say, wait a minute, God. You've got four. You've got 95% of my life trusting you. Let me have 5%. No, I want all of you. I want the whole of you transformed into the image of my son. He's not deformed. He doesn't even have a deformed finger. I want all of you to walk by all of that you are. Every area of your life, I want you to trust me. But what happens in our life? We trust him here, we trust him here, but I don't trust you here. People like to talk about other people's patterns of sin. People, every one of you, you're a liar and you do not have the truth in you if you say, I don't have a pattern of sin. We all have a pattern of sin. Yours may not be offensive, yours may not be so aware to the world, but we all have a pattern of sin. Every one of us. And what's going to happen throughout your life, he's going to continue until you get to where I trust you even here. And what starts to happen is your whole person starts being transformed into the image of Christ. From the Thessalonians passages, what happens is as your faith is increased into every area of your life, your love is greatly enlarged. Now they see spiritual love where they didn't even see it yesterday. They saw love here because you're walking by faith. Here because you're walking by faith. This area of your life because you're walking by faith. They don't see love here because you're not walking by faith. They don't see love here because you're not walking by faith. But when you do walk by faith in those areas, love starts to abound there. And that's why love is greatly enlarged. When you increase the areas of your life where you're trusting, love is enlarged in your whole life. And when every part of you is walking by faith, every area of your life, people, that's when you're being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. You love as he loves in all areas. You trust him financially. So it's nothing for you to pull out your last dollar and give it away. It's nothing to you to do that. But maybe you don't trust him in the area of food. And you're not about ready to give away your last bowl of soup on a cold day. Somebody knocks on your door. So they don't see love. But now you've learned to trust him even here. They knock on your door and here you can have my last bowl of hot soup. Why would you do that? I trust him. And when you trust him, what do you see? You see his love. Where you and I don't trust, you will not see his love. Where you and I do trust, you see his love. I don't trust him financially. I can't give you my last dollar. I know you really need it, but I can't give it because I haven't really got that point I trust him there. But when a person passes that and they do trust him financially, here, you can have my last dollar. What are you going to do for lunch? I don't know. But you need it now. So you see love in those areas where our faith is functioning. And God wants every area of your life, dear people. He wants you to walk by faith. Trust me. Okay, what's he saying in this passage? You saw me deliver here. You see me deliver here. You see that I love you here, took care of it. Why don't you trust me here? See, they're in the storm. You saw me turn into the food and make all those baskets. You saw me perform this miracle. You saw me do this in your own life. You were in the boat. You saw me command the winds and you saw me command the sea. Why don't you trust me? You saw me take care of this area of your life. People, every one of you here that are Christians, every one of you that at some point in your life, you believed in Jesus Christ and you are saved forever. You saw him do it. You have been kissed by him, as it were, in the Old Testament Psalm. Why do you doubt that if you trust him in your life, he's not going to do something for you? Take care of your need. Because we harden. We harden. We harden in the area of faith. I just don't trust you to do it in this area. And maybe I'll go back and fail in this area again. Maybe I'll go back and fail there again. But what happens is harden is a picture. I don't trust you. What is always hardening? Even if we did a lengthy study, went back to Pharaoh and the whole thing, what's the hardening toll? The whole thing with the hardening of the heart. I'm not going to trust you. The hardening of the heart is a refusal to trust. I'm not going to trust. And I don't care if you did do it here and here and here. I don't trust you in this area of my life. This area of my life, I don't trust you. You're hardened. You're hardened there. And he's going to break you. He's going to get you to where, okay, I'll trust you there. That's what the hardening has to do here. Now let's go back to Matthew and finish up this morning. Matthew 16, verse 9. Verse 9, do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you filled, or the 7 loaves and the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? Now we know from Mark why they didn't, because they were hardened. They would not trust him. They will not go to faith. Verse 11, now in our study, how is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? What is he talking about? He's talking about the farming. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. To work, to do. Do and do, do and do. Rule on rule, rule on rule. A little here and a little there. You better work for God. You better do for God or he's going to get you. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. But the true gospel, trust me. I am God. I will deliver. I will save. I will provide. I will bless. That's the truth. But they would not listen. So the issue here in the faith is simply trusting him as opposed to having to do. If you think that faith is something you have to do, people are going to doubt. You're going to doubt your own faith. But if you realize my faith doesn't do anything, God does the work. I trust you with a grain of mustard seed. You manifest yourself as a sovereign, omnipotent God. Let's close in prayer. Just in case someone has come in who has never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we'd like to give you that opportunity right now. What must I do to be saved? Simply believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Yeah, but, you know, I've got a lot of things in my life that need to be straightened up. Okay, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But that's not the issue for salvation. There's only one issue on the table. Repent of Christ. Well, yeah, but I got a lot of friends that I need to not run. No, your friends aren't the issue here. Before I have a rough lifestyle, your lifestyle isn't the issue here. Changing your friends, changing your lifestyle isn't going to save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ. The object of your faith is sufficient. Act it so as to save. If your faith decides in greater mustard seed. And if we remember how we're saved, if we never forget that, we'll know how to walk day in and day out with any and every other problem you ever have in life. Well, how did I take care of your problem when you're an unbeliever? Well, I just trusted you. Okay? Keep on doing that. Heavenly Father, what a beautiful passages we have been able to look at this morning. We're so thankful your Spirit has taken us through these passages and opened our eyes, Father, and where they bring us is right back to you. What kind of God are you? Such a loving, merciful God. If we just trust you, we defy the laws of nature. But Heavenly Father, we saw another nature of you, that even when we fail in trusting you, we still will not sin. You are still there. Father, we praise you for the God you are. In your Son's precious name, amen. Hey, Doc, how you doing, man? Good, thank you. I got on you.